Good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. It's good to have you with us this morning. In case you haven't noticed, we're entering a new season, a new series. We're actually calling it Seasons. We're going to talk about how we are wired for rhythm. We're wired to be fully engaged and productive, and then fully engaged in resting, and then fully engaged in planting and cultivating and harvesting. And the Bible talks a lot about this, right? That song by the birds. Some of you know the words. Some of you know that those words actually come from the Bible. The Bible talks about how there's a time and a season for everything. It's a time for seeds to fall off, right, and be scattered so they can be planted and go underground in the wintertime and wait and rest for new life to be born in the spring. And then golf season, right? But that's what we're going to talk about, is how, you know, so much more and more in our culture, in our society, we're becoming aseasonal. We're on all the time. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. You came in, when you walked in, you probably got a program. Many of you, it looks like this. Inside that program is all kinds of great information and ways you can get engaged here at Crossroads. If you're looking for a way to connect or to get involved, this program can point you in the right direction. Also, you'll see that there was a flyer right by the program. It's called Serving. Doesn't that sound fun? Serving, right? I'm going to be honest with you. We're actually trying to ramp up our kids club volunteers for about 9 months from now, coming out of the sex series. We think that we're probably going to have a little, That was bad. No, but seriously, you know, all the time I'm talking with people, I'm engaging with people around here, and people are like, I just want to be a part of something bigger than me. It's when we be a part of helping change the world or whatever. You know, people want to engage in something bigger than themselves. And it's like we're waiting for this perfect convergence of the space-time continuum to come together and say, now is your purpose, now is your time. The way it starts, folks, is small, everyday, average folks around here getting engaged, loving people, and creating life change. All the life change that happens around here is because everyday average people are getting involved in serving around here. So if you think you might be interested in getting involved, if it's a season for you when you'd like to get involved and start serving, pick up one of these flyers. They're out there on the back. You can see there are all kinds of ways you can get involved according to your interests and specifications. Okay? So fill those out. Take them to the info center out in the atrium. They'd be happy to point you in the right direction. All right. Right now we're going to sing a couple of songs together. This is something that we do on a regular basis around here, just to kind of point us toward God a little bit, right? We come running in here, we rush in here, you know, parking is nuts, and we get through and we get our coffee and we come in here. We see some time to orient ourselves. You say, God, I don't know why I'm here today, but I trust that maybe you want to say something. And so we're just going to kind of point ourselves toward God and sing these songs, which are actually old songs that have been around through all the seasons. Pretty cool. So we're going to do that right now. While we do that, some folks are going to come down with little discs and give us a chance to be generous if you want to do that, if you want to give. Again, all the things that happen around here are average, everyday people being generous and living a life of generosity. That's what fuels the ministry that happens around here, 3500 our city and the world. So feel free to give if you want, or if you're new around here, feel free to let the bag pass by. That's totally cool. And sing along. Welcome out, everybody. My goodness, look at this. People in the top balcony. All the asocial people. No. It's great to be with you today. My name is Todd, and I'm actually on staff here at Crossroads. And by way of introduction, I just want to tell you a little bit about my story, because it's going to factor into some of what we talk about today. I grew up in a little town called Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Anybody know Washington Courthouse? Yeah? Actually, it's worse than that. I grew up outside of a little town called Washington Courthouse, Ohio. And anybody know what Washington Courthouse is famous for? The outlet malls. It's like the Hamptons for Cincinnati yuppies, right? It's like where we go for the weekend to get away from the city kind of thing. Anyway, so grew up in Washington Courthouse. Went to school at Miami University. Yeah. Studied marketing at Miami. And just like any good marketing major does, immediately after school, summarily went on the road singing country music for 6 years. Right? Oh, come on. Like, you guys haven't done it, right? Everybody's got that little country music part of their past that they want to forget. But anyway, went on the road singing country music for most of my 20s. Got to do lots of great stuff. We opened for people like Kenny Chesney. He thinks his tractor's sexy. Toby Keith, you know, who's really big. Dixie Chicks, which is really cool. We played the equivalent of the Super Bowl for hillbillies in front of 75,000 people. It was awesome. It was so much fun. Had a blast doing it. It was great. Didn't make any money. But had a blast. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite lines is people come up after a show and say, hey man, love the show. I'd be, thanks. Can I borrow a couple bucks? It'd be great. But anyway, had a blast doing it. And right around the year 2000, met my own little Yoko Ono. Love you, babe. Rachel. She's actually here right now. Love you, wherever you are. We started having some conversations about this music thing. And some of the stuff that we saw as we were getting married and sort of moving on in our life, some of the things that we saw that God was doing in our life and the season that we saw God moving us into, and realized that there are some things in our life that we were going to have to seriously put on the table and ask God, okay, God, what are you doing right now? What kind of stuff are you birthing in us? And what does that mean for all of this sort of portfolio of things that we have in our life? So anyway, long story short, and I'm going to get into it more later, came on staff in Crossroads in 2000 as music director. At the time, it was like this section of people. You know, it was really small. We were meeting at a middle school over in Hyde Park. Since then, I've moved into a role called creative director here at Crossroads. I have no idea what that means. Don't tell anybody. But anyway, so it's a blast being here with you today. And I'm really excited that we're entering this series called Seasons. Because I think more and more and more, we're becoming an a-seasonal culture, right? We are always on, always on. And there's something that we can learn from the Bible, from the season of the metaphor of seasons that God has given us about what it means to be fully engaged now in the present moment. That there's a season for harvest. And then everything has to die. And there's a season when things are going to go underground. There's a season of rest and waiting for the promise of spring and productivity, right? And then we go through it all again. But more and more and more, our culture is pulling us in the direction of being always on 24/7. You ever ask somebody how they're doing? Right? What's the most common response? I'm good, but I'm busy, right? Happy. Constipated, right? That's the look. That's the progression. Nobody wants to admit they're not busy. When was the last time you asked somebody how they're doing and they said, the decks are clear. I'm going to go home, kick up my feet, watch the game, have a beer, right? Ooh, that rhymed. I have to remember that. That's a good country song. I have to remember that. You know, when was the last time you heard that? It doesn't happen, right? Everybody wants to perpetuate this illusion that we're busy all the time, that we can handle it. We can take it on. Right? And so we look around and everybody else seems to be managing okay. Right? So it perpetuates this thing in our culture where we have to be on. As a matter of fact, we've even dubbed it the Age of Speed. And there's a book that just came out called The Age of Speed. And here's a quote from that book. It says, "We are willing to make dramatic sacrifices to achieve greater speed because today our society pulses with new priorities and demands. We've created a 24/7 crackberry, more faster now culture, and it's changing the way we work, relate, communicate, and live. It's changing what makes an individual successful and what makes an organization viable, and it's changing key aspects of," and this is key, "the basic human experience. The way that we live and engage day by day by day is changing." Right? We're always on. And that's not the way we're wired to be. We love having choices. We just don't like making them. Right? 150 channels, but nothing's on. Right? We love having choices. We don't like to make them. Now, any farmer would tell you, we have a good friend, Andrew Peters. Any of you know Andrew? He's here at Crossroads, he works at First Impressions, folks. Grew up on a farm in central Ohio. Any farmer would tell you that if you rush out in the late summer, early fall, and you expect to plant and get a harvest, it's not gonna happen. Right? We're addicted to this Miracle-Gro thing. We want these giant Franken-tulips, Miracle-Gro Franken-tulip things, right? We're expecting results. It's perpetual harvest. We live in perpetual harvest. But the problem is, these plants don't have the roots to support these Franken monster tulip things that we're building. And organizations are getting in on the game. Inc. Magazine this month, which is a great business magazine for entrepreneurs, they had an article. It was titled, 6 months of team building in 6 days. And here's a quote from an exec. He said, in 6 months through a year, this will be a great team. But I can't wait for that. Right? We don't want to grow a team, we want to make a team. Andrew was talking about the seasons. He was talking about the fact that in the Midwest, where the land goes through regular rhythms of planting and cultivating and harvesting and rest, and crops are rotated and planting and cultivating and harvesting, the yield is higher than in areas like California where they have a perpetual growing season, where it's constantly harvest all the time. They're constantly harvesting. The reason is the land in California doesn't have time to replenish itself. When it lives in perpetual harvest, it doesn't have time to replenish itself. When we treat the land like a crop-producing machine, it refuses to cooperate. Right? But more and more, aren't we kind of doing the same thing to ourselves? We're treating ourselves like machines. Perpetual harvest. I'm always on, 24/7. So as a result, we don't think in terms of growing things anymore. We think in terms of making things. We don't grow a living, we make a living, right? We don't grow time, we make time. We're treating ourselves like machines, always on 24/7. And the metaphor of the seasons, we learn from the Bible, teaches us there's a time and a place for everything. We're not wired to be on 24/7. We're treating ourselves like machines. And so machines don't run themselves, right? You have to have some outside source of power for a machine to be on all the time. So just for fun, I thought maybe we could name some of the outside sources of power that we use to perpetuate and prop ourselves up. Applause for the caffeine. Yes. Sweet nectar of the productivity gods. We love you, right? Caffeine. We go through this cycle every day. We get up, we suck down the caffeine, we crash about 11:30, we have another dose of caffeine, we crash about 2:30. We try to make it through the rest of the day, we go home, and we crash, right? We're artificially propping ourselves up. You know, I had this moment of panic on Thursday. I went to the local watering hole, the Madeira Starbucks, got my morning dose of coffee. And as I was turning to leave, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a word that struck terror in my heart. Decaf. And I swear, it took the barista like 30 seconds to convince me that my coffee was in fact full octane stuff. You know, it was actually caffeinated coffee. And I realized at that point, I've got a problem. Instead of slowing down, developing healthier... By the way, acorns are going to fall off throughout the course of this. I'm just warning you right now. And a squirrel, last service, jumped out and attacked the front row. So you might want to see it. Instead of slowing down and developing healthier rhythms, developing healthier sleep patterns, disengaging and then re-engaging, we develop these artificial mechanisms to keep us propped up. And now it's getting worse, right? They've got these energy drinks that have 200 times the amount of safely ingested sugar, right? And we're sucking these things down and it just keeps going because we can't slow down. We're always on and we have the illusion that we're more productive. Okay? How about this one? The crackberry. Yes. Okay, let's be honest. It's dark in here. How many people have actually checked your email since the start of the service? Right? Anybody willing to admit it? Unless you're chief of staff to the president of the United States, or maybe the Bengals defensive coordinator, maybe. Is there anything that can't wait an hour, right? But we're perpetually on. There's a condition, a diagnosable condition now. It's called constant partial awareness. We're never quite here. We're always kind of here. We're also kind of there. Is there something else I should be doing right now rather than what I'm doing right now? We can't slow down. All right, let's get a little personal. Antidepressants. According to Wikipedia, the bastion of online credibility, okay? In 2007, the number one prescribed drug in the U.S. was what? Antidepressants. Very necessary in some cases. Absolutely very necessary. But we're not asking the question, why are we a nation of depressed people? We're curing all the symptoms, but we're not attacking the disease, right? So we're becoming a nation of caffeine-sucking, crackberry-wielding, antidepressant-popping activity junkies. We're always on 24/7. And it's getting worse. And guess what? Our kids are getting in on the action because we can't slow down. Everybody else seems to be managing okay. So must be something wrong with me. Right? We can't slow down. We've become aseasonal. We've lost our rhythm. And it's almost like we're only asking, can we do it, instead of should we do it? Can I squeeze this in rather than should I squeeze this in? Now, please, don't get me wrong, okay? God wired us for hard work. That's one of the things we're wired for. We're wired to fully engage, to be fully engaged, to be fully working hard, fully engaged in fully resting, fully engaged in fully playing. It's part of what we're wired for. The problem is we've mellowed out, right? We're treating ourselves like machines, equal input, equal output all the time. And that's not how we're wired. And when we violate a rhythm God has put in our life, we do it at our own expense. Okay? And what makes this really difficult for us, and this is really what we're going to get into today, is that most of the things that we're doing are really good things. Right? It's not like many of us are out there kicking puppies and swindling widows out of their Social Security, right? That's not where we're spending our time. Well, I don't know where that came from. Sorry. That was weird. That's not where we're spending our time. We're captains of industry. We're out there creating jobs, right? We're solving social problems. We're building friendships. You know, we're doing good things. These are all very good things. But the lesson of fall is that we can't live in perpetual harvest. We can't live in perpetual harvest. And here's what we're really going to focus on today. Sometimes really good living things have to die so that something new can be born. Sometimes really good living things have to die so that something new can be born. Jesus talks about this a lot, actually. Talks about this a lot, about this principle of life coming from death. The fact that living things come from dying things. One time he's talking to his close followers, his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to die. And they're all saying, no, not you, you can't die. And here's what he says to them. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus was saying, it's necessary that I die so that something good can be born on the other side. And we're sitting in a room 2,000 years later talking about it because Jesus died, right? Jesus was telling us the principle of the fall, that sometimes very good things have to die so that seeds can be scattered, can go underground and await rebirth in the spring. All right, so just to continue my story, right around the year 2000, my wife and I were analyzing all these really great things that were going on in our life. You know, this music thing was going on. She had a great job. We just got married. We were talking about starting a family. We really didn't see God moving in this music thing. Okay, now understand, music was really core to me. It was really core to how I saw myself. Since I was a very little kid, it was what I did. It was what I loved. It was very natural. I was good at it. I was very good at it. Right? It came easily to me. So this thing that was core to the way I saw myself, the way I engaged the world, all of a sudden that was put on the table. We started talking about the fact that we really didn't see God moving in this direction, but we sensed that there were some new things that were being birthed in us. Two of them are our little boys, which are great. Who are great? Who are great? Definitely who are great. They're like little hurricanes. You can't stop them. You can just predict the weather patterns, you know. They're always going, whoa, what's going on? But we sensed that God was moving us in the direction of family and that God was moving us in these certain ways, that he was birthing these things in us. And it wasn't going to be compatible with all the other stuff that he was doing in our life. And so we put the music thing on the table. I went away for about a day and a half, prayed about it, came back and said, I think you're right. I think this is the right thing. So we agreed the music thing was going to go on the table. And then we're going to be seeking other opportunities. God, what is it that you're birthing in us right now? Because this thing, it feels like this really good thing needs to die. Right? So about that time, opportunity came up for me to come on staff at Crossroads as music director, which is kind of cool, right? I get to keep the music thing kind of in my life, but I'm also engaged in something that God's kind of birthing in us. I get to be on staff here. Well, over time, the music thing faded further and further into the background as my role changed. And now, music is really something that's kind of very, very, very much in the background. Still very core to who I am, something I love. And it's hard, right? When we let things go that are central to the way that we see ourselves, the way that we engage the world, it's really hard. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've made those choices, right? It's not a trivial thing. It seems like it, but it's not a trivial thing. It's hard. But sometimes, really good things have to die so that something new can be born. So as we progress through, just to get really vulnerable with you right now, we're kind of in that same season right now. I mentioned we have two boys who are awesome, just amazing, amazing kids. And a couple of years ago, they were maybe 3 and 1. And I sensed that God was birthing something in me, something new in me. He wanted me to reach out to people who have to create stuff all the time, day after day after day, this sort of create on demand thing where it's like never quite enough. You just have to crank it out every single day. Knowledge workers, right? Any of you who work with your mind, you know what I'm talking about. You can never turn off. It's day after day. You have to create stuff. So I started this podcast, which is sort of like a recorded radio show kind of thing. Started this podcast called The Accidental Creative, and I put it out there and forgot about it. I was just kind of doing this thing. And then all of a sudden, we started seeing God blessing this thing. And like a couple of months later, it became like the biggest, one of the biggest business podcasts on the net, you know? So now all these opportunities are coming in and people are like, you know, approaching and all this stuff. Right around that same time, just to set the stage, my wife came to me and said, hey, I've been doing some research on international adoption. Ding, ding, ding. I'm thinking maybe we need to think about adopting. Now keep in mind, I'm at Crossroads, creative director at Crossroads, all right? My wife is working a very full, by the way, Crossroads, very full-time job, okay? Much more, the most common thing heard around here in the office is, go home, right? Okay, my wife's working a great job. She's got a great job at a company. She's doing really well, earning way more than half our income, all right? So she's doing great there. We've got this podcast thing that God seems to be blessing, and there's all kinds of opportunity over here. She comes and says, hey, I think we need to adopt, right? We've already got two small boys. And I said, no. I said, no, it's not the right thing. We don't have the margin for that. We can't take another child into our home right now. We can't do it. This thing's going to have to go away. I said, but maybe we could start a nonprofit to help other people fund their adoptions, right? Because that'll be easier, right? Okay. $20,000 to $35,000 it costs to adopt a child. A lot of people can't afford that. Let's help them. So we did that. We started this thing called Ava's Hope, and we funded a lot of adoptions through that. Okay. So now we're both working more than full-time jobs. She's traveling a lot. I've got this podcast thing that's pulling me in a bunch of different directions. We've got the two boys, obviously. Now we've got this nonprofit, right? All very, very good things. Very good things, right? There's some tension. There's some tension, right? It seemed from the outside like everything was going well. I noticed we were kind of short with each other. We didn't have margin for each other. And I think it caught up with me one night. I realized that we were praying for our boys. I was praying that our boys wouldn't get sick. And I realized I wasn't praying that our boys wouldn't get sick because I wanted them to be healthy. I was praying that they wouldn't get sick because if they get sick, what are we going to do? How are we going to juggle this? How are we going to find childcare? We can't stay home. We got jobs. We got stuff going on, right? It's a problem. No margin. We're slammed. All right? So right around that time, God came to me. Not God, like, you know, although you do kind of look like him. Bear with me. God came to me. And said, you know that whole thing that I said in the Bible about how I want my people to take care of people who are widowed and orphaned? Yeah, I kind of meant that. And that's something that I want you to do. This is something that you are going to do. You are going to adopt a little girl specifically. All right. So I went away for a day and a half again. Came back after praying and I said, Rachel, my wife, I said, Rachel, you know, God told me that we're supposed to adopt. All right. And 6 months ago, we brought home our daughter from Central America, which is awesome. Highly recommend it. It's great. But we had this conversation. It went something like this. All this stuff, this is not going to hold. All right. This is not going to hold. We see God blessing a lot of things in our life. We see God birthing things. There's spring going on in a lot of different places in our life. And all these things can't hold. Something is going to have to die. So we pulled everything out. We put it on the table again. We said, God, here's all the stuff that's going on in our life right now. Here's all the stuff that we see happening. All right, which of these things are you in right now? Which of these things are you bringing life to? And then we kind of took the boys off and said, we're going to keep them. Right? But you know what's scary? You know what's scary? Is that as all these things were on the table, we realized that the thing that was dying off was our boys. You know? And we're good parents. We're engaged. We're doing stuff. We're with them, right? But when push came to shove, where does time get sacrificed? Where does energy get sacrificed? Where does attention get sacrificed, right? So we put all the stuff on the table and we said, okay, what of all these things needs to die off? And we realized the one place we didn't see God moving and working was the one place we really didn't want to hear God respond. He wasn't working and moving, which was in her job. Financial security, right? As I mentioned, she's making way more than half our income. She's got a great job. Loves her job. She's engaged in it, but she's there for the work. She's there to earn a living. She's not there because, hey, God's birthing this in me. It's really more about, hey, this is money for the family kind of thing, right? So we made a really, really difficult decision. This was the one place, just like with my music, God's not working there, right? We made the decision that God's really not working here, and this thing needs to die off so we can create some space to bring this little girl into our family. Right? It was hard. It's a hard decision. You know, it's tight. We have some disciplines of generosity in our life. Those things aren't going away just because we cut our income. Those things aren't going away, right? So we had to make some really, really difficult choices. And it's hard and it's tough. We see God showing up and moving in our life and creating new space and new opportunities. And our boys are just coming alive. They're just coming alive. And our daughter's doing great. And all this stuff because we said, not just can we do it, should we do it? Something in our life had to die so that something new could be born. When we choose to follow Jesus, everything goes on the table. All right? We like to sort of maybe add Jesus to our life and plug him in where it's convenient. But everything goes on the table. And Jesus talks about this. He said, if you want full life, if you want the life that I'm promising you, that has to be the central thing. And some other things might have to fall away. He talked a lot in parables, which are kind of like little riddles or conundrums or stories that you have to unpack and find meaning in. And one day he was telling a story about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not the place where your cat went when it died, you know, when you're five or whatever. The kingdom of heaven is a place where God is alive and active and is having his way. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus is saying, if you want what God's doing, if you want to be about what God is doing in your life, if you want to be about the thing God's birthing in your life, other stuff might have to die away. Really good stuff, right? When we choose to follow Jesus, everything goes on the table. I was in Jacksonville, Florida a couple of weeks ago. Anybody been to Jacksonville? Yeah? Awesome place. Really cool place. Very windy. There was this thing called red tide. I'd never heard of this. It's when all these algae come in and attack humans or something on the waves. It was really weird. They're like, ooh, beware the red tide. Okay. Anyway, sidetrack. So I was in Jacksonville, I was speaking to some students at the University of North Florida, and we were talking about this idea of living life with a creative ethic, what it means to live life with a creative ethic. And this girl came up to me after the talk. She said, hey, you know, I listened to you talk about the songwriting thing and the Nashville thing. I want to be a songwriter. I was like, yeah, another one for country music. That's great. So anyways, we started talking. I confirmed that people around her had actually told her that she didn't stink, you know, that she actually could do this thing. And after doing that, I said, okay, great. You want to be a songwriter? You got to move to Nashville. That's the way it works. And I saw her face drop. And she said, well, but see, I've got a job and I've got an apartment No family yet. I'm thinking about going back for my MBA. I'm getting ready to start doing that, right? And I've heard that with technology now, you can live just about anywhere you want to and you can be a songwriter, right? So you can do, and I said, well, time out, all right? You can be in love with the idea of being a songwriter in Jacksonville. That's fine. You can do that. And you can write songs all you want to. If you want to be a songwriter, you have to move to Nashville. You can be in love with it over here, but if you want to do it, you got to go over here. And some of us maybe are sensing that God's birthing something in us, right? But we're not really willing to take the steps to go over here and to leave some really good stuff behind in order to get where God is moving us. And that is the lesson of the fall. That sometimes very good things have to die so that something new can be born. And so we're living reactively, right? We're living reactively. We're bouncing from situation to situation. We're not proactively engaging in what it is that God's doing in our life. One more story from the life of Jesus, actually, because I think this is really relevant to us. I think by any standard, most of us would say that Jesus was a pretty busy guy, right? How many worlds have you saved? Okay, you're going to lose this argument. Pretty busy guy. So at the height of his public ministry, the height of the time when he was out, he was engaging, he was teaching about God, he was healing people. This is a snapshot. Let's see what it says in the book of Mark. It says, that evening, so Jesus is out healing people. That evening, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. Simon was one of his close followers. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. This is why I have come." So just to summarize, all right, Jesus is healing people. These people have been sick for years, maybe their whole life. Jesus is healing them. Right? All these amazing things are happening in this town. At some point they say, time to close up shop, folks. We're all going to go to bed. Jesus will be back in the morning. We open up at 8 o'clock, you know, bring him back kind of thing. So they go to bed. Before everybody else gets up, Jesus gets up. He goes off to a place to seek God, to ask him, what are you birthing in me right now? What are you birthing in me right now? Not what can I do? What should I do? What are you birthing in me right now? So at some point, everybody else gets up. They go looking for Jesus, right? And they find him and they say, Jesus, thank goodness we found you. There are all of these really good things you could be doing over here. People who need you. Come back over here. People need you over here. And what was Jesus' response? Oh, I wasn't aware. I'm sorry. Why didn't you text me? You know? What if Jesus had a crackberry, right? Another leper needs healed in Damascus, you know? So, okay, bless you. Or whatever, I don't know. No, Jesus was off seeking God, asking, God, what are you birthing in me right now? Not what can I do, what should I do? So his response was, I'm not going to go back over there because God has told me I'm going to go over here. This is why I have come. When you identify what God is birthing in you, why you have come, it's often going to mean that some very good things are going to have to die away. So that you can be about what God is doing in your life. But we live reactively. We don't spend time with God. We don't ask him, what should I be doing? Right? We react and we take things as they come. Jesus didn't do things because he could. He did things because he should. Sometimes very good things have to die so something new can be born. This past summer, we took our son, Ethan, to Lakeside. Anybody been to Lakeside up on Lake Erie? Yeah. Four of us. Okay. It's kind of like this arts colony, and they got all kinds of cool stuff there. And we took him to a playground, and they had these monkey bars on the playground. Ethan's about five now. Monkey bars are like the ladder on its side, and you kind of, you know, do what are they called? The parallel bars or the monkey bars or something like that? So Ethan thought he wanted to try this thing. He'd never done it before. So we put him up on the ladder, and he grabbed onto the rung, and he grabbed the second one, and he reached out, And I think all of a sudden he looked down or something happened and he realized he's kind of dangling about 3 feet over the ground, right? And he was paralyzed with fear. And we said, Ethan, just let go and grab the next bar. Just let go and grab the next bar. It's okay, you can do it. He was paralyzed. He didn't want to do it. He had solid matter in his hands, right? But there's nothing down there, right? And we're saying, it's okay, let go. We'll grab you. If you fall, we'll catch you. It's okay, right? There's a developmental stage for kids called brachiation, according to Brian Wells, who is, I think, better than Wikipedia. There's a developmental stage called brachiation, which is the stage at which kids are able to let go of things and grab onto something else. And it's a sign of developmental maturity in kids. It's a sign of developmental maturity in kids. Sign of our developmental maturity spiritually is whether we're willing to let go of something very solid and real to grab onto the next thing that God's calling us to. We see where we're going. We know where we're going. There's no way to get out of it. We've got to move forward or we've got to stay still. That's the only direction or we can fall. But the good thing is God is standing there saying, it's all right. I've got you. We have to trust that there's life on the other side of death. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to move into winter. We're going to talk about how in winter things go underground. And there's a season when we don't know if spring is actually going to happen. We've given stuff up and there's a fear, right? Is something going to pop up on the other side? I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to ask the band to come out. While they do, I just want to say that in my life, the places where I see things falling away so often, it's not the work. It's not the urgent stuff. It's not all the messages coming. It's not the to-do list. It's my time with God. Am I going off to these places and spending time with God and saying, God, not just can I, but should I? God, what are you birthing in me right now? God, of all these things on my table right now, what needs to die away? We can't do everything, folks. We can't. People want you to think you can. Our culture, our organizations pull us. They treat us like machines, but we're not wired to be machines. That's not how God made us. We need to start asking the question, not just can we, but should we? So in this series, we're going to learn the lesson from the seasons, that we're wired for rhythm. In this series, specifically as it relates to fall, we have to realize that sometimes very good things have to die away so that something new can be born. All right? We're going to sing the song that we sang at the beginning, which says, O God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works your hands have made. When was the last time that you actually sat and thought about what it is that God's doing in your life, what you see God doing in the world? Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray for us that God will encourage us, that he will breathe courage into us this week to make some hard decisions about the things that are on our table. All right? God, we know from the Bible that you have wired us for rhythm. We know that it's a part of the fundamental way that you want us to engage this world. Full on productive, full on rest, full on engagement in relationships, not constant partial awareness. Not being all places at all times, but being fully present in this moment. And I ask that you would breathe courage into us this week and teach us, God, what are you birthing in us? And what does that mean about what might have to die away in our life to create room for that new life to come?